Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Proverbs 5, 21. For a man's ways are in the full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Proverbs 5, 21. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 147, 5. Psalm 86, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86, 11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. As all of you realize, we're studying the church at Laodicea. That church information begins with Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and goes down through verse 22. Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. As always, realizing the importance of being in harmony and fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word. God has given to us a magnificent system. We call that system the grace system of comprehension, which just simply means that when we're in fellowship, cleanse of sin, fill the Spirit, then we are in a position where we can properly receive the communication of the Word of God. And so that's the reason why we spend these first few moments in prayer, to be sure that if you have any problems or difficulties or been knocked out of fellowship today, then this is a good time to get back in fellowship and be ready to study God's Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we express our thanks tonight again for this magnificent book which we have, God's wonderful Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of hiding its words in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to your plan. And that's our reason again for being here tonight, is to take in another increment of your Word, that we might be able to utilize those truths and find ourselves triumphant and victorious as we live each day. We thank you that you are a loving God, a forgiving God, and that you have promised us in your Word that you would hear our prayers and we could come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we're thankful tonight for salvation grace, experiential grace, and also ultimate dying grace. And we pray that in these moments we're now studying, that we will have open minds to these truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the back of last Sunday's bulletin, you see Revelation 3:18. You see it on the screen before you, and you, of course, see it there in your Bible. We'll begin reading with verse 14, read down through verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, now I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, in white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, exposed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may be able to see. This is a wonderful night for us because this is the fourth session that we've had with Revelation 3:18. Anytime that happens to me, it gives me a wonderful opportunity to spend that last session not only reiterating, recapitulating that which has been given, but giving you some new things, perhaps some things that you and I need to have recalled in our thinking. On the screen now, you're going to see something that you've seen before, and this is a picture, a diagram, of the spiritual house of the soul. If you remember that the first verse that we gave you this evening has had to do with the building of our spiritual edifice. On the screen, you can see now, and I'm going to point these particular floors out to you. The first floor down at the bottom, you'll notice, is the bedrock of salvation. And this emphasizes the fact that a person becomes a believer when he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And you'll notice we are calling this the bedrock of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone. All of us here tonight are fully aware of the fact that when God loved, He loved the world so much that He was willing to give His Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory, come down to the earth, go to the cross and bear our sins. So we need to understand that there's a spiritual house to be constructed in each of our lives. And this is a beautiful picture of an evidenced building of the spiritual house. The foundation, of course, is the bedrock of salvation, faith alone in Christ alone. Above that, you see an emphasis on sin, which is an emphasis on the works of the flesh. I'm sure that all of you realize that you have an old sinful nature. In case you didn't know that, I'm going to remind you tonight that you do have. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are many verses of Scripture. But there is an emphasis in the Scripture on the fact that we are born physically alive and spiritually dead. And then when we are born again, we still have a sinful nature. And we understand that the Scripture has much to say about the sin works of the flesh. The emphasis above that, you'll see, is the filling of the Holy Spirit. All of you know that the Scripture says, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. What's interesting about Ephesians 5:18 is that it is a command. So that verse of Scripture says, with a verb in the imperative mood, a command, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that is a command for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll notice that the next statement is objective thinking from the Word of God. It's important that we have not subjective thinking, but objective thinking from the Word of God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of these. The next step is genuine humility. And perhaps you have seen many times the diagram that we've presented to you in relationship to the divine power sphere. Just for a second, we'll look at this. You'll notice gate one is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Gate two is objectivity. Gate three is humility. We're just now emphasizing that. Step four is spiritual momentum. And of course, you are aware of the fact that spiritual momentum is that part of our Christian life that makes it possible for us to fulfill steps 5, 6, 7, and 8. We've emphasized this many times, so I don't need to magnify these points other than to tell you that once we understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, once we understand objectivity, once we have a comprehension of humility, perception and application of God's Word, then that all makes it possible for us to have a personal love for God, an impersonal love for mankind, the right kind of love for our companion, and then that magnificent gate 8 or step 8, which is the happiness of God, described by the Greek word chara, which is described in the original language with the word joy. We translate that the word happiness. So we emphasize genuine humility. Next is personal love for God. The next is impersonal love toward man and a relaxed mental attitude toward circumstances of life. I wonder if any of you have had any trying experiences today that has called on you to have a relaxed mental attitude. I'm not going to ask for any testimonies, but I'm sure that all of you today have had some experiences. We've had some experiences today. Our electricity, our house is going off and on, and the computer's not working right, and all these things. And I want you to know that you could say to me, well, you have a relaxed mental attitude, and I can say you, well, you just tell me to have a relaxed mental attitude. But anyway, I just want you to see that I do face the same type of things you do. So another step is impersonal love toward mankind, having a relaxed attitude toward the circumstances of life. And then, as we've already seen tonight, the importance of happiness, sharing the happiness of God. Now tonight, I want you to realize that I've concluded that it is important for us to do a little review. And so I'm going to give you some points of review on the spiritual house of the soul. I'll try to slow down a little bit now because I've been speaking rapidly, but I will point out to you that the spiritual house of the soul is unseen. It's the invisible house in the soul, or in the cardia, which is the mentality of the soul. Now let's let you think about that with me for a moment. Building the spiritual house of the soul simply means that the spiritual house of the soul is the unseen, invisible house in the soul, in the mind, in the cardia, the mentality of the soul. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And Hebrews 10, 16 says, I will inscribe my truth on the mind. It's interesting to realize, and we've talked about this many times, that as a born-again believer, we're body, soul, and spirit. And right here we're talking about the spiritual house of the soul. Unseen, invisible house. I cannot look at you and say, my, what a wonderful spiritual construction you have. However, I can say this, that over a period of time, as we increase our knowledge of the Lord, Word of the Lord, and love Him and advance in His grace, then things will change for us. Our lives will be different. In fact, when we go to verse 19, next Sunday we're going to be looking at this. Next Wednesday night we'll be looking at this. And we're saying on next Wednesday night that taking the high road makes some changes in your life. And I promise you that that is true. Number two here, this unseen edifice can only be constructed by God's wonderful Word. I know that you'll want to write this one down, 2 Corinthians 6:16, which says, for you are the temple, the edifice, the building of God. This unseen edifice then can only be constructed by God's Word. Every day that you and I study God's Word, we are in the process of constructing that spiritual house of the soul. Many times I've said this, you don't purchase a piece of property, drive by it with a bundle of shingles, and throw those shingles out the window on your property and come back and find that the house is completely built. It doesn't happen that way. Neither does the building of the spiritual house of the soul happen that way. So this unseen edifice can only be constructed by God's Word, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Made a little mistake here, but I can correct it. This construction is built gradually, slowly, like the building of an earthly house. And I just emphasize that by pointing out, throwing the shingles out. I know that you don't build a house on the earth that way, and neither do you construct your spiritual house that way. I take it if you had time to take those first three points. Number four, even with this construction, a believer can get out of harmony, out of fellowship. Now, I'm not going to ask for any testimonies tonight, but I would just ask you, and you know that I'm not asking you to answer out loud. as you've constructed or are constructing your spiritual house of the soul, since you've been born into God's kingdom a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, many years ago, over that period of time, however many weeks, months, or years it is, you've been building and building this construction, this spiritual house. Have you ever been out of fellowship? Now, that's a foolish question to ask a group like we have here tonight, because we know better than that. Even with a person building over a period of time, the spiritual house of the soul, you can still get out of harmony and out of fellowship. What I see here is that a person is a new believer, and he's a baby believer. He can get in or out of fellowship. I see a believer who advances over a period of weeks or months. He moves up to an adolescent believer. He can be in or out of fellowship. A person can advance over a period of time and become a more advanced believer. Let's say that he's in the junior stage. He can be in or out of fellowship. A person can reach adulthood spiritually and be in or out of fellowship. All right, but it's also possible for a person to be gaining spiritual momentum and get up on the magnificent highway of God's grace. But even then, that person can be out of fellowship. What I'm trying to do is to point out to you that even with this construction, a believer can get out of harmony with the Lord. Number five, each person must choose to construct his own spiritual edifice in his own soul, and this takes consistency and persistence. It seems to me that I can't tell you how important each word is here. First of all, this is something that each person must do for himself or herself. Each person must choose to construct his, her own spiritual edifice in his, her own soul. And this takes consistency, and this takes persistence. Do we fail? Certainly. Do we make mistakes along the way? Of course we do. At times, we find ourselves under the control of our sinful nature rather than under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, of course. But I tell you, we understand when we are out of fellowship, and we don't want to stay out of fellowship very long. In other words, what we want to do is have short accounts. In other words, when we get out, get back as soon as possible. Verse number 6. This means making decisions daily to receive the mind of Jesus Christ by learning biblical precepts. Can we attach number 5 and 6? Certainly. Each person must choose to construct his own personal, spiritual house of the soul. And this takes consistency and persistence. One of the things that I appreciate about our church is that we've seen people over the years, now 35, 40 years, and some even more, who have stayed with God's plan, faithful, consistent, persistent, consistent in receiving the impartation and dissemination of truth. Number 6, this means then making decisions every day to receive the mind of Jesus Christ by learning biblical precepts. Now we'll go to number 7. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which will result in true worship, which means that we have what I'm calling an altar in the soul. Now, some churches have altars at the front, and they call people there to kneel and pray. I'm not opposed to that, but I would say that there has to be, before a person ever comes to the front of the church for an altar, there has to be an altar in the soul. I want you to see what I'm trying to put over here. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions day by day, moment by moment, which will result in true worship, which causes us to manifest the fact that we have an altar in the soul. Now, you'll have to take this away and analyze it and think about it, but you will think about it long enough to realize how powerful number 7 really is. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which results in true worship, having an altar in the soul. It's always amazing to me when I hear people talk about true worship or worship services. And I understand that people don't understand what true worship is. Some people are of the opinion that true worship is when you have a butterfly feeling of emotion in a service. And they would say, oh my, what a wonderful worship service we've had today. You've had that, haven't you? I mean, you've heard that. Excuse me. I notice that we're getting some response. Please, I'm going to turn my head. I just don't want to see you now, because I understand that people have all kinds of ideas about what they classify as having a true worship experience. I want you to see something here. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which results in true worship, having an altar in the soul. You can be by yourself at home and enjoy the altar in your soul. Do you see what I'm saying? You can have a proper relationship and harmony with Jesus Christ while you're driving along in the heavy traffic of Houston, when it's very trying indeed, but you can have a beautiful experience of true worship in the altar of your soul. Because you have the ability to see things from a vertical divine viewpoint rather than from a horizontal human viewpoint. Number 8, let's look at it. There are different names for this spiritual house, this construction of the soul. I've only listed a few here. One of those is an imitator of Christ. In the original language, the word is mime. I'm sure that you probably understand what a mime is. It's unique. It's a unique word. Beautiful. The Greek language is so fantastic. I love the passages where the Lord says, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. And it is the Greek word parakaleo, a comforter. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan is what it really is saying. How fantastic that is. Do y'all see why I get excited about the language? And there's so much more that I don't know. So I'm not trying to tell you that I'm an expert here. I'm just trying to tell you that an expert is a little drip away from home. But anyway, imitator of Christ. Some of you didn't get that. That's okay. The next word or expression is the word plero. A beautiful word which has a number of different meanings from the original text. I only put one down here, filled, full. Another way that the word plero is used, it means to fill up with a certain capacity, to feel full, to be excited about what God says. So building the spiritual house of the soul can be expressed by the Greek word plero. Another expression, number 3, that you see on the screen, Christ at home in your heart. Christ at home in your heart. We'll just say that we're inviting you over to our house. And when we get you to the front door, I'm going to tell you. Now, I want you to know something. You're certainly welcome at our house, but there are certain rooms in our house I don't want you to go into. Now, you can come in the den, but I don't want you to go here, and I don't want you to go there, and I don't want you to go there. And after a while, you get the feeling that you're not very welcome in our home because there's some restrictions there. You see what I'm saying? No, that's not the way it is. When you come to our house, you're welcome to just nosy all around. And that's, in other words, it says here that Christ at home in your heart, in every aspect of your heart, every room of your life. Is the Lord at home in every room of your heart? And then the last one, put on a new man, Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Now you may wonder why I'm not emphasizing at length the verse 3:18. But I'm going to. I'm not through yet. I just want you to see that someone placed my clock. The electricity went off, and it is set at a different time. And so I'm just so pleased that I can look at this clock, and it tells me that I have about an hour or two. But anyway, I want you to see this. God's family circle. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus said, that there is only one way of salvation, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the cross makes the difference. Now also you are aware of the fact that we can either quench or grieve the Holy Spirit, and we're not to do that. So here's a person inside a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He's in fellowship. She's in fellowship. But while in fellowship, temptation comes. And so a person understands that the temptation itself is not the sin. But now I have a decision to make. Am I going to yield to this temptation? If I make a decision to yield to the temptation, then my decision knocks me out of fellowship immediately. You see what I'm saying? And this is true of every one of us. Every single day, we're in fellowship, and then there are things that will bombard us and try us and cause us, if we're not careful, to move with that temptation, decide to go with the temptation, decide to go away from the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit and under the control of our sinful nature. Sad. But there's a picture of it. Restored to fellowship is what is important. Sin? Yes. What am I to do? I'm out of fellowship. What am I to do about it? I'm to do something about it quickly. I'm to move back into right relationship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9. Have you ever heard that before? I'm sure you have. And that means then that God has given us, in this beautiful picture, that system we talked about at the beginning of our service tonight, the grace system of comprehension. Now, if we had about an hour or two here, we could discuss this one, but I just want you to see that we're emphasizing here the mentality of the soul. We're emphasizing the fact that there is in the Word of God a word that describes the mind. It is called nous, N-O-U-S. It is what is called the staging area when we are receiving the Word of God. I'm not going to go in through all of this, but there's a difference between receiving God's Word from the standpoint of gnosis, which is knowledge, and the ability to transfer that by faith, mix it by faith, Hebrews 4:2, and begin to utilize that truth in a magnificent way, and allowing that gnosis then to become epinosis. If you're interested in this wonderful picture, you can have it and look at it later. All I want you to do now is to see that we're moving along quite rapidly, so we're going to get back to our verse of Scripture in just a few moments. But I need to tell you, God's provisions are ample. I'm going to go slow now for just slowly for a moment or two. God's provisions are ample. I'm amazed at what I discover from day to day, week to week. Some of you are wondering, because you're of the opinion that if we ever get through the book of Revelation, it will be beyond the rapture. I have news for you, though. When we finish the church at Laodicea, we're going to be moving more rapidly. And so, just hold your hat. Get ready. We're going to see some things from the book of Revelation that maybe we've not seen before, but I just want to tell you that God's provisions are ample. Number two on the screen, God suffers no inflation. God is not a pauper. You can rest assured that He owns Psalm 50, what is it, verse 10, he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. So I just want you to understand, God suffers no inflation. I want you also to see, number three, that God excludes no one. I'm proud for that one, because when I see that, I know that God doesn't exclude me. God excludes no one. The next statement on the screen is God's royalty, and that royalty wardrobe is extravagant. If you should choose to go to the trash cans of the world, you're going to be disappointed. If you go to the world's clothing store, you're going to find that you're going to leave that place heartbroken. Let God clothe us, because God's royalty wardrobe is extravagant. The next statement is, life can be productive. Life can be productive. The next statement is, grow in grace and knowledge. I'm sure that you see that there are times when I just find subjects and sentences that I feel like that we ought to just think about for a little bit. And that's the reason why I have these for you. Grow in grace and knowledge. Then the last one that I have on the screen now, perception, self-discipline, and determination. No one on this earth can do this for you or me. It's personal. It's individual. No loved one can do it for you. Your pastor cannot do it for you. Perception is personal. Self-discipline is personal. Determination is personal. Did I give you time to take that? Now, our verse, and this is the last time we'll look at this because we're going to verse 19 next Sunday. It says, I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. You remember that I said a few sessions back, Jesus wants to do business with us. He wants us to do business with Him. Jesus wants to do business with us. I counsel you to buy from the world. Doesn't say that. I counsel you to buy from me. Gold. Gold is an expression in the scripture of intrinsic value. What God has for us. And I promise you tonight, for myself and for all of you, what God has for us is far better than anything else in all the world. Memory is a wonderful thing. Just a few hours ago, I was at a funeral service. The funeral service was of a man who, he and his wife were married 64 years, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a friend of mine through the years, way back there, I found out that this guy was an unusual fellow with a unique sense of humor. And back many years ago, many of you are aware of the fact that Second Baptist Church was in the process of purchasing buses. At one time, we operated 13 buses going out and bringing people into the services. And I was asked one time to go with a couple of men to Dallas to make a purchase of some buses. And this particular guy was one of them. And it was interesting because he had such a unique personality, unusual guy, a little on the crude side. And we spent some time that morning looking for buses. And after a while, the time went by and it was past 12 o'clock. It was past, I think, 1 o'clock. And I said to the fellows, I said, are any of you hungry? And he said, and the preacher quoted this today at the funeral, hell yes, I'm hungry. Now, that's not Baptist terminology, is it? Or maybe it was, or is. I told the preachers before the service today, won't you just use Methodist terminology? But I'm not sure that would have been any better. But anyway, they told that story. And what happened to me, because I do have a little sense of humor, when we got our meal, I called on him to lead the prayer. Do I have a sense of humor? I think I won't keep it. But anyway, I counsel you, I don't know what that had to do with the sermon, but boy, was it a good story. I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. Now, the other day, I came up here and I gave you these eight verbs. And you looked at that and looked at me and you thought, oh my, here we go again. He's going to be talking about verbs. And he's got eight of them this time. So I'll just take it away. But I put it up here in a different way. I put it large letters so you can see it, which makes it better. So I'll throw that paper away. And here it is. I counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, sum buluo. Look at that. S-U-M-B-O-U-L-E-U-O, counsel. How's that word used? We're going to talk fast. Continuous action. The Lord says, I'm going to keep on advising you. Active voice, subject produces the action, indicative mood, the mood of reality. I counsel you. Now notice, to buy. These believers at the church at Laodicea were being told, because some of them had traveled a good while up the Grace Highway. I believe that some of them had gotten to the very mountain peak, to the point where God could really bless them. And they became wealthy financially. And then they became egotistical, supercilious, proud, arrogant. And they said, we're rich. We don't have a need for anything. And the Lord said, what you need to do, aorist active infinitive. Infinitive is a word of desire. You need to change your desire. And instead of looking at your resources, and instead of looking at your finances, and instead of looking at your bank account, looking at your blessings, take your eyes off of those blessings and look on the source of the blessing. You see what the Lord's saying to these people? You know what? The Lord may be saying that to some of us here tonight. Because if we're not careful, our attention can be focused on our blessings. And our eyes can be taken away from the source of our blessings. So the infinitive mood is the mood of desire. I advise you to have a desire to buy from me. Because you have to understand that where I've been, it's been tried and proven to be successful. I love it. Would y'all let me just bounce around here a little bit? Oh boy, we're doing good. Perfect tense verb. Happened in the past. Consummated in the past. The results of that continues to this present moment. The Lord says, I want you to know that you can buy from me gold that's been proven, tried in the furnace. What I have for you, you can put it down. It's what you need more than anything else in all the world. So don't be looking at the insignificant minor things of life when you could have the major aspects of life. I counsel you to buy for me the things that have been tried, notice the way it says it, tried in the fire, that you may be rich. And I told you the other day that Joyce and I were riding home, and we always talk about various things, and she says, you know, I don't think the word rich is a verb. Well, that kind of disturbed me a little bit, because I know it is a verb. But rich is not a verb. But I know rich is a verb. Are you folks with me? And so I realized that in the English, rich is an adjective or a noun, I would take it. But that's not the way it is here. It's a verb. And I had to tell her what the verb was in the Greek. Pluteo. There it is right there. And so I was teaching her a little Greek on the way home. And she told me, and this is right, it needs to be explained. Why, sure it needs to be explained. Thank you, darling. You're not in here, but I want you to know it means to become rich. So it's a verb. You got it? You folks get it? It means to become rich. But look at this. Aorist tense means at a point of time. Active voice, subject produces the action. Subjunctive mood is the mood of potentiality. May or may not happen. You know what? You folks, including this preacher, may or may not get there. Subjunctive mood. Okay. I need to hurry. Then it goes on to say, and white raiment, that you may be clothed. But look at this. Oh, I get so excited about this. There's a subjunctive. There's the aorist tense, a point of time. But look at that. Do any of you know and remember what the middle voice is? Oh, I've got to teach you. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The passive voice says the subject receives the action. You're going to go home and remember this. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. That's the middle voice. It says you can run around spiritually naked if you want to, or you can choose, subjunctive verb, you can choose to be spiritually clothed. That's the reason why it's the word peri. Balo. Balo is the word we usually talk about, ball. Peri means a prefix or a preposition, means around. So it means to throw around. So in the ancient days, their clothing, they threw it around. They wrapped themselves. So there we have it. Let's go on. We're almost through. And you're almost alive. But let me see. May be clothed. But let's read on. And may not be manifested. What is it that may not be manifested? The shame of your nakedness may not be manifested. And there we have again a verb in the subjunctive mood. Phanero'o, not be manifested. Let's read on. I've got to hurry. And the eye salve to anoint, and there it is, your eyes in order that you may see. Now I'm going to close, but I want to show you two things. Anoint, again, is an infinitive, or a verb of desire or wish. And he says, I salve to anoint your eyes. You can choose to have this eye salve. It was in that day what they called a collyrium, an eye salve. And it says here, you may see, blepo. And it is a continuous action verb, present tense, active voice, subject produces action, that you may be able to see. Now, that simply means that if a person wants to see spiritually, they've got to determine not to move out and away from their capacity for life. So, conclusion, capacity for living is totally dependent upon our response to God. Your response and my response to God on a daily basis is our capacity. Capacity for living. Number two, capacity means that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. I have to tell you that there are many people tonight who are unstable and they're not secure, but they can be. So capacity for life, a right relationship with God, means that we move from instability and insecurity to stability and security. Number three, capacity then removes the roadblocks. And we all have roadblocks. It matters not who you are, where you came from, or where you're going. We all have roadblocks. Capacity means that the priorities are straight. We've got to have our priorities straight. Number five, the source of blessings rather than the blessings reveals our occupation with Christ. Number six, capacity is a result of occupation with the Lord and absolutely nothing else. Jesus Christ has to be number one in your life and mine. We've had this before, is the reason I'm going rapidly now. Consistent Christian advance keeps the priorities straight. Number eight, neglecting Bible study results in the focus moving from the blessor to the blessings. Number nine, love for the blessor will cause the blessed to enjoy the blessings. Some of you didn't get this when we gave it before, but you're getting it now tonight, I hope. If you don't have it, you'll get it on the internet if you miss getting it here tonight. Love for the blessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, will cause the blessed, that's you and me, to enjoy the blessings. And number 10, our confidence is in the source of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. Isn't this fantastic? Our confidence is in the source, the Lord, of the blessings in order to enjoy the content of the blessings. You've listened very well. It's time for us to go. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, help us to realize again tonight that you have for us a fantastic and wonderful life. A life, no matter what the circumstances are and how difficult things may be, you have a life of joy, peace, and contentment. And so we pray tonight that all of us will understand that we need to have capacity. And realizing what capacity will do for us, it will take us away from the distractions of the world, focus on the major aspects of life, and minor on the things that are minor in life. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we pray that they will realize that the greatest decision ever to be made in life is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you tonight for salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I want to know how you folks are doing down here tonight.